KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Richmond, California.
San Jose.
Union City.
Eastside. Jackson.
I'm from the Campbell area.
Hayward.
Coming up, the battle between builders and conservationists over Bay Area land goes to court in Livermore.
The Environmental Review focused almost exclusively on impacts to endangered species during development, but not on impacts once this pristine, hilly land is converted into basically a concrete jungle.
Examining the debate over development versus environmental impact. And from our series, It Takes a School, we'll meet a former activist who inspired students with his social justice approach to learning.
What they're most interested in is now, and you know what it means to be an activist in the current period.
We're lifelong learners here at Cross Currents. Stay tuned. A state policy meant to balance conservation and development is causing big controversy in Livermore. Now, development and conservation are often at odds. The Bay Area is home to a wealth of plants and animals, but there's also a huge housing shortage. So what happens when there's impasse? Well, the state's policy is to compromise, allow developers to build on land where endangered plants and animals live, so long as they promise to buy and protect land with those same species somewhere else. But a Livermore citizens group says that policy doesn't do enough to protect these endangered species. They've filed a lawsuit that could block one development project there, and it raises larger questions about the policy itself. KALW's Corey Suzuki has more.
I'm out in the hills between Dublin and Livermore with Marcia Grefsrud, an environmental scientist with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife.
We might be hopping the fence.
This place is part of a conservation site for some local endangered species like the California tiger salamander. They're small brown amphibians with bright yellow spots, but we don't see any here today.
They're underground in the grassland here, which we look around and you could see, you don't see anything. It doesn't look like there's anything out there, but there's all this life.
As the salamanders grow up, they move out of the wetlands and into the foothills and grasslands. And they're an important part of the ecosystems here and in those areas.
And salamanders are helpful because they prey on all these wide variety of insects and to help minimize crop damages and damages to other things. They keep the ecosystem in balance along with all the other species that are in there.
But now, California tiger salamanders are disappearing. Populations are in decline across California, and the species is listed as endangered by state and federal agencies. That's because of a lot of things, like pollution, climate change, and other factors. But their main threat is development. I'm standing on a quiet suburban street in Livermore. At the end of the road, the asphalt becomes a dirt trail leading up to some wetlands and a big golden hill. This land is home to a group of tiger salamanders and other endangered species. And developer Lafferty Communities plans to build 42 sprawling, Tuscan-styled houses right on this hillside. This land is zoned residential, and it's privately owned, so it's legal to build here. But these salamanders have been protected by state law since 2010. So the city of Livermore says the project can only go forward on one condition. Lafferty has to preserve a similar amount of healthy tiger salamander habitat somewhere else. Lafferty Communities didn't respond to a request for comment, but I did speak to Steve Stewart, Livermore's planning manager. Steve oversees development in Livermore. And this kind of trade, where developers protect one place where endangered species live so they can build on another, is called compensatory mitigation. It's a key part of California's conservation laws, and Steve is all for it.
I don't know if there's a better way to do it. I mean, it seems to, you know, the planning and environmental professionals in the business are doing the best that we can with the resources and tools we have to try and have meaningful regional conservation.
Compensatory mitigation is supposed to be a last resort. Killing members of an endangered species should only happen when it's unavoidable. And in this case, a Livermore citizens group called Save the Hill believes there may be other, better options, and that the compensation being offered by the developer isn't enough. So they're suing the city of Livermore to block this project from going forward.
Our argument is that in approving the development, the city failed to really evaluate and consider the impacts.
That's Jessica Bloom, an environmental attorney working with Save the Hill.
The Environmental Review focused almost exclusively on impacts to endangered species during development, but not on impacts once this pristine, hilly land is converted into basically a concrete jungle.
Jessica says the hill Lafferty wants to develop is part of a larger ecosystem. The land around the hill is also home to other endangered species. And Jessica says that preserving land somewhere else won't offset the full impact of Lafferty's development here.
It's not a compensatory act. It's a capitulation. It certainly won't be able to serve the same number of animals and provide the same level of habitat as it would have otherwise.
Save the Hills case is in the early stages of litigation in the Alameda County Superior Court. And ultimately, it may not succeed in stopping this development. But Jessica says the lawsuit is about more than this one project. It's also about a larger debate over this approach to conservation.
This should spark a broader conversation about the value of compensatory mitigation when those compensatory lands are not equal to what's being lost.
Compensatory mitigation has created a lot of protected land for endangered species, but it also allows for the deaths of members of those species and the loss of important habitats. And that raises the question of which is more important, development or conservation? It's a hard question to answer, especially here in the Bay Area, where the need for housing continues to conflict with the need to protect the environment. From Livermore, I'm Corey Suzuki for CrossCurrents.
Alameda County Superior Court will review the case against the City of Livermore this Friday, August 30th. Go to kalw.org for more information. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hana Baba. Now we'll bring it back to San Francisco for our series airing this week, It Takes a School. For over 30 years, history teacher Robert Roth worked throughout the San Francisco Unified School District. He's a native of Queens, New York, and began his career in teaching after years of activism, including with the radical student group The Weather Underground. Mr. Roth retired from teaching in the classroom at the end of the last school year, but he's continuing to mentor and support new teachers as an instructional coach at Mission High School. KALW's Beau Walsh spent a day at Mission to catch Mr. Roth in action one last time before he retired.
The bell is going to ring. Ring, ring, ring. The bell is about to ring. Ring, ring, ring.
My name is Robert Roth, and I've been teaching in the district for 31 years. It's my 31st year.
Oh my God! Sorry, good afternoon.
I taught 11 years at middle school and the rest in high school.
All right, so everybody listen up, okay?
I taught at Thurgood Marshall, McAteer right before it closed, and Mission.
Let's keep moving because we got a lot to do. All right, so listen, first of all, we've spent a good deal of time studying the criminal justice system. Many activists have called it the criminal injustice system and have pointed to many examples of how it negatively impacts communities of color. What do you think?
I never come into a class without really thinking about it.
Convict leasing comes in what kind of...
The most experienced teacher, we plan hard, and we're never just sure that a lesson is going to work.
What else when an off-duty officer comes in? What's confusing about that sometimes?
You don't know if he's an officer.
You don't know, right? You don't know, is he an officer?
You create an atmosphere, you try to, where students are encouraged to challenge themselves about the work, really creating an atmosphere where the work is the centerpiece of what they're doing in a class.
How many times have we heard that, right? A cell phone mistaken for a gun. A cell phone mistaken for a gun. Officer involved. Shooting happens, then I thought they had a gun. Over and over and over again. Okay, now, how many of you have not yet lost your review sheet? That's good. Only one person hasn't lost it?
My name is Eric Guthertz, and I'm the principal here at Mission High School.
Okay, so, introduction.
He was very famous already. I knew of him very well. I knew him slightly, but I knew of him very well. I knew that the former principal had tried actually to get him here even earlier.
And if there's one you don't know, you're asking about it.
One of the things that I remember very, very vividly is when I was a teacher here at Mission High School, and we had a beautiful workshop one day, and students had done these projects, and one of the projects was literally why Mr. Roth is the best teacher ever, and it was this gorgeous video. So I saw this video of this teacher named Mr. Roth. This was back when he was still at McAteer, and when McAteer was still a school. And I remember even then thinking, wow, I would love to work with that teacher.
All right, take that time, use that opportunity, all right? What I've given you is a guide on how to structure your essay, but you can experiment.
Yeah, I was at that point still in the classroom, and I just thought he could be such a great mentor to me, and the fact is he has been an amazing mentor to me, actually one of the most important mentors I've had in my entire life.
This is a suggested way of doing it. If you have other ideas, come and talk to me about it. I'm not holding it because by Wednesday you have to be, I hate to tell you, studying. How many of you are allergic to studying?
I was in my mid-30s. I had been an activist for my whole adult life. I had worked with young people numbers of times throughout that period, and I needed a job.
Okay, is there anybody that wants to share one thing that they've done?
And I thought, why not go back to school and get a credential and see if I like teaching? And then once I started, I loved it. And, you know, I've been doing it ever since.
If I say Fred Hampton and then I say Chicago.
Yo, Fred was in the Black Panther
Party. He was in the Black Panther Party, that's right.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You know, it's a long time ago for, you know, in terms of like my early activism. They can find it online and then they go, Mr. Roth, could you tell me about this? Can you tell me about that? So students access it and they're interested.
And we've discussed that, and you looked at the case of Sandra Bland. You're gonna see another case today.
But I think that what they're most interested in is now, and you know what it means to be an activist in the current period and what it means for them. You know, it's about the students. It's not about me, but I will share when asked, and that's happened more and more over the years.
Usually he asks the questions that he knows I got answers to, but I don't never think about the answer.
I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Oh, yeah, yep, that's the one. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
You know, it's not just that they hang out in a teacher's room at lunch or they can talk to a teacher about their problems, but that their work is valued.
Do you want to hear what I have to say?
Yes, I do.
No, I don't have
to. I absolutely want to hear what you have to say.
It was kind of gratifying knowing that, like, someone, like, wanted me in their class just for me being me.
I look at them as intellectuals, and I look at them as, you know, young people who need encouragement, need challenge, need rigor, and respond to it. And so that's what I try to do, and I try to make the work relevant to their lives, to their backgrounds.
All right, from your own study of immigration, and or your own experiences, not just your own experiences, but also from what you learned in class.
He was one of the first professors that helped me
building my English because I was a newcomer, and he was, this class, his class was the first mainstream class that I took, and it was a icebreaker for me. It was clearly a determination for me.
You know, you don't have to remove yourself from this. Say what you think, what your own point of view is.
He helped me growing in my confidence and my ability to share. Like, it started expressing like my own thoughts, like have confidence in my own voice.
Okay. It'll be in by tonight, I promise.
No.
Like, we gotta get you these scholarships. All right. Okay.
That's what I'm for you?
Okay, so look.
I think that there's been a recognition like throughout the district that if you're just teaching from the textbook and you're just teaching sort of the standard, you know, white male centered history, that's ridiculous in this day and age.
In your project four, in your project, The Hidden Histories of Women of Color, you explored the ways in which women of color have been marginalized and excluded from the history books. Using the examples that you study, explain some of the critical contributions made by these women and why it is so necessary to study their lives. Malala was the youngest person ever to get the Nobel Peace Prize. All right?
Wasn't she like 16 though?
17.
17?
17 when she...
Oh, man.
That's true, Ben.
I got 2 months.
You got two months.
Get it.
Okay. All right, everybody, good work.
He means a lot, for real. Like, he goes out and he's trying to help everybody. He doesn't really just focus on just his class. So he tries to focus on the school as a whole.
Like, even my older cousins, even some of the younger students, I always tell them, get Mr. Roth. Or my older cousins always tell me, do you have Mr. Roth? You should get Mr. Roth. He's a good teacher.
Thank you. Thank you, Tech Savvy. Thank you so much.
I have students who, you know, will say to me, my mom was in your class at Luther Burbank, you know, and then, you know, they see my name and then I'm in touch with their mom. And I've had, you know, I have students who, you know, have their cousins here, or, you know, so many generations, and that's important.
The expectations are very high. Okay. All right. So, got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
It's quite a healthy relationship.
It is.
Okay. He's like my papa in the whole school. Is, I don't know, it's the love that he just gave, and the knowledge that he just gave me every day is beyond just the school. He has been the most, the person that I will always remember, like, no matter what.
Okay. All right, so everybody listen up. You have to choose one of these. There's a number of choices. You have to choose one.
The rewards are so clear. You know, although I will retire, I'm on the verge of retiring, you know, but not because I don't still enjoy what I'm doing. And you could see, you're in a class and you're connecting with all of these young scholars. And, you know, on the one hand, it's one of the hardest jobs, but it's also one of the most rewarding, day in, day out.
It could be in another world. All right, in another world, it could be your final. In this world, it's not.
To see like a new generation of teachers who are establishing their own roots here, and to be able to work with them and help them out and support them and, you know, help them figure out how to navigate those first few years of work, which are so hard. It's very rewarding because they're going to be here for many, many more years. And, you know, I love that part of my work.
All right, you too. And remember, no D's. No D's, no F's in any of your classes, right? You're on your way out of here.
Robert Roth worked as a history teacher for SFUSD for over 30 years and retired last year. He continues to mentor and support teachers. That story is part of our new series, It Takes a School, celebrating the difference makers in the San Francisco Unified School District. It's reported and produced by KALW's Bo Walsh. You can find the whole series at our website, kalw.org. Click Cross Currents. And while you're there, please subscribe to our weekly newsletter. You'll find links to all of our stories so you can stay up to date on what's happening around the Bay and get to know some of the unsung heroes of the area. Tune into Cross Currents tomorrow at 5. Our series, It Takes a School, continues with a woman who's worn many hats at SFUSD.
It's not all about the textbook. You can read forever, and it will not teach you everything. It's about knowing how to communicate with people, and it's about feeling for people.
Meet another magnificent educator tomorrow at 5. Now, let's listen to a local band.
It's always when I try to go after my dreams, it seems that everything is much harder than it should be. I form a thought and hesitate and watch it turn to steam, and it floats away on the breeze.
We're listening to Clementine Darling from Sonoma. She's performing at Neck of the Woods in San Francisco this Friday.
On Monday, I caught your eye when we were crossing the street, and you gave that crooked smile. Yeah, you were looking right at me. I wondered if you knew my name or if your eyes are blue or green, but I'll never know. I can't speak.
Today's team includes Janae Darden, Sophie Codner, Lisa Morehouse, True Quinn, Marissa Ortega-Welch, and Jocelyn Tabankai. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tarek Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Shireen Adel. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. And before we go, we want to share one more thing with you. This is a piece from KALW's continuing series, My Mixtape. Thanks for listening. I'm Ben Trefney.
Get your mixtapes.
$5 mixtape. We take Venmo.
I owe you.
Now I take those two.
CDs.
USBs.
LEDs.
I can make a trade.
Oh, what?
You got tapes?
No. I got a mixtape for you.
Hi, my name is Gabby Rivera, and my mixtape is Ain't Nobody by Chaka Khan. It is the most joyful, loving song ever. Her voice is amazing, and anytime you hear it, you just want to go, ain't nobody. Ain't Nobody by Chaka Khan was also in this 80s breakdancing movie called Breakin'. And I had it on VHS cassette, and I would play it all the time and try to like do the moves and be like Special K. And it was like, it just reminds me of home and that time. That's a memory.
I feel like no one's real. I must be dreaming. I won't